Have no fear, they're going to pick up the pace. Mother, father, sister, brother, better known as MFSB. They backed up a whole lot of groups back in the day, and a lot of individuals. Teddy Pendergrass, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. So many people helped make that Philly sound. Gamble and Huff at the wheel. Writing, producing, doing an outstanding job too. I want to remind you of something. A lot of you heard the conversation that I had yesterday with Helen Bratton, with the Augusta African American Historical Society, doing some great works for the community. And they are teaming up with the Payne College History Club to bring us a presentation on Augusta's Black History. As Ms. Bratton mentioned yesterday, the Augusta African American Historical Society will be presenting Dr. Bobby Donaldson, professor of history from the University of South Carolina, and he will be speaking on the legacy of Black Augustans and their contributions not only to local history, but to international Black history. Who remembers how many different countries Frank Yerby's works were published in? More than 80. How many different languages was the book translated into? 22 different languages. Augusta's own Frank Yerby. You can learn more about Augusta's Black history, our legacy, by going to Payne College's HEAL Complex, October 18th. Go to Room B. It starts at 7 p.m. A reception is going to follow the presentation. And ladies and gentlemen, you cannot beat the cost. It is absolutely free and open to the public. Again, Thursday, October 18th at Payne College's HEAL Complex, one of their newest buildings. Room B starts at 7 p.m. So you may want to try to get there around 6:30, 6:45. Make sure that you are there on time. What did you decide what you like most about your brain, or what it is about your brain that impresses you most? Well, let's be thinking about it. Give it some thought. Give it some more thought. In the meantime, let's take a look at some factoids that we can use to help us with our brain. You all know I like it when you bring that readiness to grasp the information that we share so you can put it into play in your lives. That's what I'd be trying to do. I'd be trying, whether I'm at school or whether I am at church, I'm listening to something on the radio, having a one-to-one, I try to have the brain open, the heart open, the mind open to receive what I can, to put what I think will work for me into play. Well, when it comes to self-value, the way you value yourself, the way you value others, how does that come into play with regards to how we use our brains and how, as a result, we live our lives? Here's the thing. Holding on to self-value when you don't like other people's behavior. Yeah, the people's behavior that you don't like, and so you hold on to the value you have for yourself, that helps you avoid feeling devalued by other people's negative behavior. The second one is holding on to value for other people when you don't like their behavior, so that you don't feel devalued because of their negative behavior. Did you get that? In both cases, one of the goals is to avoid feeling devalued by someone else's negative behavior. We could even say bad behavior. Avoiding feeling devalued because of their bad behavior. But notice this. In one case, you hold on to self-value. In the other case, you hold on to the value of the other person who's actually behaving badly. Obviously, feeling devalued and devaluing other people will make any situation worse. The problem of holding on to self-value goes beyond the fact that the toddler brain typically dominates under stress. A complicating factor is the inflated notion of self-esteem that has emerged in the public consciousness in recent decades. And believe me, it is good to have a very, very healthy self-esteem. We just don't want to go overboard with self-esteem. What is Dr. Stasi wanting us to capture, though? He says that the culture of toddlerhood, which is where a lot of grown folks' brain is when it comes to self-esteem, is where the problem comes in. Self-esteem is exalted so highly that people think more like toddlers than mature adults. The general population currently scores higher on self-esteem measures than any that came before. Some researchers have identified a decidedly upward trend in narcissism. Some of you heard the conversation that I had with Darlene Lancer some time ago about narcissism. That is a problem, disposition, disorder, and it is a disorder. It is literally a personality disorder. Narcissism, I mean, I'm not talking about a person just, you know, from time to time paying a little bit more attention to him or herself than he or she should. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when that person has a lot of traits that identify them as a bona fide narcissist. That narcissistic disorder, and it is literally a personality disorder, as found in the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, the book used by people in the mental health field, including psychologists, to help identify disorders. And some researchers are saying that they're noticing that we have more and more cases of narcissism in this world, in this country. And it's basically, narcissism is basically an inflated sense of one's talents, skills, personal qualities, looks, abilities to draw people into dark behaviors. With a strong sense of entitlement to high regard from others, special considerations and rewards of all kinds. Strong sense of entitlement to being highly regarded by the people. So the person, they want folks to perceive them as being an outstanding Christian, even when they do not live a wholesome, righteous, holy lifestyle. They want to be seen as being the best singer, and they want the accolades that come with that. They want to be seen as the best at being able to draw other folks into activities that maybe they shouldn't be engaging in. They want to be seen as the best, or at least someone who is really, really, really good at it, whatever it is. Narcissistic. An inflated sense of one's talents, an inflated sense of one's looks. Self-esteem, as traditionally measured, is how we feel about ourselves in comparison to others. But as people experience it, self-esteem tends to have a hierarchical bias. In other words, a lot of people begin to deal with self-esteem in such a way that they conclude that they're better than some Because remember, with self-esteem, very often people are not just looking at who they see themselves to be in and of themselves, but in comparison, how they see themselves in comparison to other people. And so they're going to see themselves as better than some people, but not as good as others. Do you find yourself ever thinking like that? How about when you think back? Because we may not always realize it while we're in the moment, but if you look back on a situation, think about how you compared yourself to an ex, whether a girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse, some of your closest friends, running partners. Do you ever compare yourself to determine whether you are better than them, whether they might be better than you? How about when you, and it's so interesting, see some people who really just do a great job of determining that they're smarter than these people, they're smarter than those people, maybe not quite as smart as that one. And when they start getting into those games of deciding who's smarter than, who's more talented than, who's more spiritual than, all this kind of stuff, you notice how that often leads to bad behavior? They start competing and they start working to do the one-upsmanship game. Try to prove not only to themselves, but to other people that they're better than, they're smarter than, they're more mature than. And they just mess up relationships. And that's part of the kind of stuff that some of the scientists are saying they're seeing on the uptick, where people inflate their sense of self-esteem so much that more and more people are becoming narcissistic, moving into the realm of having a disorder.